For our first episode, we decided just to have a conversation about who we are and why we're doing what we're doing. Enjoy.
Right, let's first introduce ourselves. What do we do for a living? So go on, Shanti, tell us Okay. Who you are.
Who am I? I studied fine art painting, and I did a master's in drawing, or a master's level in drawing, at the Royal Drawing School. And it was during that time that I started jiu-jitsu, which was about 4.5 years ago now. And then since then, I've been working as an artist in film, doing scenic painting and stuff, and trying my hardest to do as much jiu-jitsu as is physically possible when you're so freelance and so tired. But, you know, these things are changing. I started jiu-jitsu because my dad was a black belt, and he was just on my case about starting jiu-jitsu. And I remember I went for my first class. It was a women's class. The first one in London was the women's class, and I just got such a high from it. And I went home and I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, I really like it. And my dad was so happy. I was like, oh, shit. And he's still really happy because I'm still doing it. What about you, Marina? What's your background?
I am from Cyprus. I came to the UK to study. Initially, I thought, oh, I'll study and come back. And it never happened, really. I studied biotechnology, and then I wasn't sure what to do. I was looking for jobs, and I found a job in a school in Bethnal Green. So I thought, after 2 years of working there, I thought, I like teaching. I'm going to stick with it. And then I went and did my teacher training again in UCL. And ever since, I'm a chemistry teacher. Now I'm going into a head of chemistry job. And I will be a try and train with the same intensity as I've done before. We'll see how that goes. Yeah, and I started jiu-jitsu because of my now fiancé. I never thought I would like it. My first experience was completely different to yours.
Really?
I thought, what is this? Like, I didn't like it for the first week, to be fair.
Really?
I did not know what to do. Yeah. I was just struggling to stay on top, because I thought that's what we had to do. And it was...
I mean, that's quite fair. I mean, to stay on top in dominant position, that makes...
Yeah, in a clothes guard.
Were you just, like, squeezing?
Yeah, I was squeezing.
Just all of your...
It was so bad. I was like, oh, but barefoot. Barefoot.
Really? Was that an issue?
I did not like that.
That's so
funny. I was
funny.
Not happy with my toes. Anyway.
You weren't happy with your toes?
No, I'm not showing them.
Oh my gosh. It's
completely, it has changed me completely.
Yeah, I think it's what you're used to, though. I mean, I grew up wrestling with my dad. I mean, I think if your dad loves jiu-jitsu or something, then you would all... I mean, I'm sure our kids will grow up wrestling and stuff. And when I went to jiu-jitsu, I was like, oh, this is familiar.
This is good. I do.
This isn't too far. And my dad's advice was always just like squirm, just like get out, as in, you know, like wriggle, just wriggle out of everything possible. So I remember when I first went to my class, and I was just wriggling and trying to get out of stuff, and people just looked really confused. Just like, what are you trying to do? I'm like, I'm trying to get out, I'm wriggling. And now my younger sister, who's 23, she doesn't do jiu-jitsu, but she would be great if she did. And whenever she, like, she came to a couple of classes and she was just wriggling, and I was like, oh, okay, this is just our family. But anyway, so yeah, that's what we do.
That's what we do. That's who we are.
That's who we are.
Right, so let's talk about how this started.
Yeah.
Do you remember how it started?
It started, I think it was 2 years ago, wasn't it?
2018, I remember that.
Yeah, so that would be 2 years ago. And it was in May, because I know, because I checked when we started our Wix subscription the other day. and I remember we were at this competition and we got to talking about what we wish we'd known on stuff like to do with health and nutrition, and we were talking about like how hard it is to find stuff, and like a lot of stuff doesn't seem to apply, it's too general, or you know, how do you train around your period, there doesn't seem to be any information. And we were both sort of, you know, we both have tough PMS and tough periods, and I think, you know, and then I
bloody hell.
And then like what do you remember?
Well I remember that we were like, oh, there's nothing, like, we can't find things easily. Why don't we make a bank of data, of information
that are
accessible to all? Because we really understood that we were a few. Women were the minority in combat sports. So we were like, all right, let's just help this minority.
Yeah. I think we had quite a nice idea. It was going to be quite, like, just simple and just find articles and find things to share that we thought were important, and like, you know, like just anything that we would just try and be a channel for it.
Yeah.
Just get it out there.
Things that we wanted to find out.
Yeah.
And maybe many other women would benefited from.
And you know, a lot of women sort of they've come into it and then kind of get put off because I don't know if they get put off exactly, but you know, it's like it's so much harder if you don't have information that's ready for you. And so,
and to understand that you're not a man, you're not a small man, is a huge thing.
Which we didn't get at that point.
I was doing whatever Thomas was doing.
Yeah. No, I was
eating
doing
whatever
Thomas was eating. Yeah, I was too. I mean, well, not, I wasn't eating what Thomas was eating. I was eating what, you know, the people around me, like, you know, my dad was giving me loads of advice. He's the only, you know, I was like, I'd come home and he'd be like, right, you've got to, like, make sure you're eating all of the, you know, the protein, and you've got to eat this and you've got to eat that. And so I was a bit like, oh, okay, I'll just do that then.
Yeah.
But, actually, like, over our journey, we've realised that it's not that it's terribly different, but it is just, it's very individual.
Definitely. And the day of your cycle.
Well, the first day.
Generally, what day you are, understand so many things. I didn't know that. No. There were days that I was thinking, oh, God, I'm crap in everything. I mean, this is so bad.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah, I remember, like, sort of self-sabotaging because I felt so crap on the mat. And I'd hurt myself because I'd be like, oh, my God, like, I don't know what to, ow. Oh, well, that, I don't have to do it anymore. I'll just go and sit over there.
Yeah.
Which is a terrible thing. That was so stupid.
So then we went the next day after we chat. We had a chat, and then the next day we went to Costa. Do you remember?
Yeah, Costa, right by Gold Hawk Road Station, round the corner from the gym.
And then we start. We were there. Bang on, logo, name, Wix account.
Yeah, we smashed it in a day. Like, as in, we got, I think we like sent like loads of emails, and we started getting people going, who, like, we're sending, trying to like spread awareness of like our non-brand, or not even that it's a brand, but just being like, this is who we are. People were like, but who are you? Like, who are you? Like, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? And we were like freaked out. We were like,
terrified.
We don't know yet.
We're terrified. We're like, shall we say who we are? shall we give out our identities?
What if they find out where we live? It was, we kind of like, I think for both of us, like, it's so different from anything we've ever done. Like, I'm a self-employed person, and I make my own art as well, but you know, it's a bit different because you put out a front.
Yeah.
You kind of, you have like, you know, this is my art. Whereas suddenly it felt like we were being like, you know, what right do we have to do what we're doing? And it felt like a bit of a challenge. And we were a bit like, we don't actually know because we haven't figured it out.
We're making the way.
We're making it up as we go along.
We're making our way, really. and then we basically went to Costa every single day.
I think it was a summer holidays for you as well, because you're a teacher, so obviously.
I remember us coming from work for a couple of days. But the guy at Costa was asking, where is Shanti? Where is Shanti?
Yeah, he liked my name. And then whenever I was there, he'd be like, where's your teacher friend?
That was our office.
Saying she's my business partner, actually.
Gosh.
Yeah, it was our office, and they were so nice there. We were there for hours yeah, and hours just like trying to scrabble around, figuring out what we should do and making business plans and just, you know, I mean, it was so exciting.
Yeah.
It felt like we were doing something really important.
No, yeah, yeah, yeah. And as the time goes, I mean, everything started changing like dramatically since lockdown.
Yes, yeah, like, the last really 5 months.
We really found the meaning behind everything. Because it started off as a, you know, help and support the women in combat sports, but now it has become something deeper.
And bigger.
Yeah, and way bigger.
I mean, because I think we were just talking about how it's a lot of what we're finding out and a lot of the stuff that we're interested in, you know, is it's much bigger than women in combat sports. It's women, you know, and it's... We've talked about how there are very few women in combat sports and how we wanted to make it easy for them to find information about things that we wish we'd known about when we were training and stuff that we were learning. And we wanted specialists to tell us because we're never going to claim to know more than, we're not going to share information that we believe is true. We're going to get people who know what they're talking about to talk. But it just grew and grew, and we found ourselves talking to amazing people and hearing really, really incredible stories mm-hmm. and just being so inspired by it and realizing that we were kind of onto something in terms of, like, people were responding so well and seemed to be really liking what we were doing. And it was amazing because we loved it as well. It was like, oh my God, I mean... You know, this has all been like a free platform. Like, we're just spending our weekends and our evenings trying to put this out. But lockdown meant that suddenly, like, I was furloughed. And so I was at home and you were able to put more time in because you're a teacher and you had to work from home. And it kind of exploded.
Yeah. And we started exploring like topics that are not easily discussed. Like, people are not talking about them. Either because the taboos around issues, or because, you know, you feel uncomfortable talking about, you know, period and mental and emotional health. So it just changed direction, really.
Yeah, and I think the reason that we wanted to start podcasts was because Initially, we were interviewing people and I was writing it up.
I remember.
Which would just take me so long because I'd be trying to, like, make sense of what on earth we were talking about, because it was always a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them were good, some of them not so good. And then, you know, more recently through Zoom, we were filming our interviews, and we had some really, really, really interesting one about with Jason Shields, and a really good one with Dan Strauss and Emma Percy really recently, and Claudio Deval. And it was like, oh my God, this is such a good thing just to be able to share our conversation, because it's such an approachable and easy format to share.
Discussion.
Yeah.
A discussion.
And then suddenly everyone was like, and why don't
you do a podcast? I mean, I remember people telling me, but I want to listen to it. I don't want to watch it. I want to be going somewhere and be listening to it.
Yeah,
like, that's even better.
Yeah, it is. And you can chat for hours, can't you? So it's good if it's in your ears.
Do you want to sum up who we are, what we do, so that this is our.
So this is our blurb.
A blurb. Come on, do the blurb.
Our selling pitch. So women who fight support female fighters, collecting specialist advice and sharing current research from the experts. We are passionate about creating a space where women can find answers in a supportive and safe environment, promoting equality in the gym, on screen, in research and in prizes, as well as sinking our teeth into the best ways to optimize our health and training. We believe that our training should work with our unique and dynamic bodies, building on our strengths to help us grow and evolve in our field. In a male-dominated sport, women need to support each other as we develop within it, and Women Who Fight aims to bring knowledge to the people who need it.
Perfect.
That is our blurb.
Yeah, and at the end of every podcast, we're asking our guests, what are they fighting for? Because we, like, see ourselves as the people who fight against inequalities, people who fight, you know, against sexual harassment in sports. So each one of our guests is going to say what they're fighting for. Yeah. What else do we need to say about this?
I don't know. I mean, we're going to try and interview as many... I mean, we interview people we think are amazing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of what I see as being the most helpful for an athlete... So to be an athlete, your body needs to be functioning
yep.
at its absolute best, which basically means you need to be... healthy, you need to be eating well, you need to be sleeping, you
and
need
happy.
To your men yeah your mental health needs mm. to be as good as it can be. I'm not saying you couldn't be an athlete without with in, if you don't have all these things, but like these are the recipes to sort of really being able to have a prolonged
sustainable
yeah. career as an athlete.
Yeah.
So I think for when we get people in to talk to it's from different angles, you know, whether it's like a mental health side or, you know, like you get like a naturopath or someone to come in and talk about more holistic stuff, which I think is so interesting to like, it's because it's not just about focusing and being sort of channeling towards trying to be really, really healthy. It's also like healthiness is a state of mind. Mm-hmm. And so it's trying to just feed our soul, body, mind, soul to... you know, just grow and evolve as a person as well, because then you're always, I mean, there's this really great book I'm reading, which
go on, shut up.
Yeah. I mean, it's all the rage. I mean, actually it might not be, it might have been the rage because I'm always a bit late to these things, but it's called Mindset by Carol Dweck. And Dweck,
are you asking me to tell you how to pronounce something? That's funny.
And it's really interesting. It talks about fixed mindset and a growth mindset. Fixed mindset is, you know, not being able to grow, essentially. You can't see beyond like your own perception of what you can and cannot do or what other people perceive you to be able to do. You know, you can't fail because, God forbid, you fail. And a whole host of other things. I definitely recommend reading it. And then there's the growth mindset, which is about, you know, learning from failure. And I mean, the most stereotypical thing you can say in like any or jiu-jitsu is you either win or you learn, right? You do one or the other. And it is, and the growth mindset's a bit like that. They've done loads of studies with people about, you know, like little kids coming in, and some of them are so excited to just, oh, I failed, but I want to do another one because I want to figure it out. Wow. And I think that a lot of people who come into jiu-jitsu, and I think anyone who plays an instrument, like stuff where you can really see a progression of skill through trying, then it's like it breaks down so much. And my theory is that that's why people love it, because they can really, they're like, oh my God, I can see I'm getting better.
Yeah.
And I can see that it just takes time. It's mat time. And like learning instrument, it's just time on the instrument. And I think, you know, it's actually anything. You can learn to do anything if you give it time. And I think that's the most exciting thing about what we're doing, is because, well, we're learning a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
But also just like all of this stuff that we're learning, that we find inspiring, we can put out there, and then
any female athlete will benefit.
Yeah.
Because everyone needs to know about, you know, how to take care of your body.
Yeah.
How to interpret different things during your cycle, how to, you know, what to do when you're having period pain, for example.
Yeah. And also I think it's to do with being really in touch with your body, which is not...
understanding what the body's telling you.
Yeah, and this isn't unique.
For so long, I've been like, oh, I need to toughen up, you know? I need to be like... strong and say, oh, it's fine, it's nothing.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I don't think that's unique to women at all. I think that
you want to fit in, right?
Yeah, you want to fit guys do as well, but yeah. It's also like the idea that we need to be in touch with our body is that everyone needs that.
Yeah.
And I think one of the really important things that we want to do when we come across issues or we come across you know, anything in jiu-jitsu or martial arts, or, you know, being a female athlete, is trying to find a positive way to grow outside of it. It's trying to be, you know, it's not pointing at a problem and then going, oh my God, this is a terrible thing, what are we going to do? We want to, we don't always do this, but we're trying to talk about a problem and then talk about solutions and promote positive vibes and positive messages, because, you know, it's not like, oh, we need to, you know, women need to be, you know, figure out their shit. It's like, no, we all need to figure out all of our shit. Yeah. And this is just one angle.
Yeah. And we will call out bad behaviors, though.
Yeah.
And we will call out things that are not done properly.
Yeah.
Of course. But with a positive twist.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to get stuck in with just negative stuff, because there's that classic idea of, like, don't call out a problem without providing a solution.
Exactly.
And I really believe in that, because that way it's actually like, no, you're actually trying to create change.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's the most important thing. And I think that's the most exciting thing about what we're doing, because I feel like we're actually having, like, positive impact.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're seeing that from people's responses, and we're seeing that from, you know, as soon as you get the hater, you're like, yes, we've touched a nerve.
We're making waves. The best thing is when you have a hater and then people back you up without you doing anything.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, we've built a community here.
Yeah.
People are, like, helping.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the whole, a massive part of our thing was, I mean, to create a community where it's a safe space to call that shit out and be like, no, that's not okay, actually. Yeah. And also a safe space to go, I need some help because I'm not okay right now and this is why. And then having, like, a supportive environment where it is like, it's not, there's no judgment. It's not like, oh, you know, toughen up, or, oh, you know, or it will just ignore it or something. It's about actually dealing with issues as much as we can. I mean, like, you know, when there are issues, we're trying to get people who actually know what they're talking about to give us content that we can then share. So we are really a platform where people can find information.
And when we do ask our listeners or our followers to just tell us if they want something, if you want something to be discussed, if you want to know more about it, just drop us an email and we are going to look for the answers.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is, everyone's experience is so shared. Like, it doesn't matter what you've experienced.
Yeah.
There will be other people out there who are at different points of their journey, who've had that experience or are about to have that experience. And it's about saying you're not alone. And
we often feel alone.
I mean, definitely. I think that's, again, it's not unique to women. That's like, we all have those moments of feeling really, like, isolated and not, I don't know if misunderstood's the right word, but not understood, or, you know, I'm just, like, left out in some way. And I think we're trying to create a positive community where, you know, we can change that, or just create a space where it's possible to, I don't know.
You know, I'm explaining myself. Like, through our work, I'm changing. Personally, I find myself changing and improving things that are, like, because I grew up in Cyprus and I've learned things differently. And now I'm going, you know, I'm looking at myself and I'm like, oh, I need to change that.
Yeah.
These attitudes are completely wrong. Just forget it. Let's move on. Let's grow. And it's okay. We make mistakes and it's fine. We can do better.
Yeah.
So that's exactly the vibe here.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can do things better.
I think so. And I don't think there's, like, you know, there's sometimes an argument to say, you know, that, oh, feminism isn't needed, or that's, you know,
first of all, let's can you define feminism for me?
Feminism is fighting for equality.
Exactly. So as long as we know that this is what we are talking about, and we're making it clear that feminism is just equal rights for women and men.
Yeah.
There's nothing more than that.
Yeah.
It's the basics. So anyone who calls themselves non-feminist, so are you, like, we need to understand what we're saying.
Yeah, I think a lot, there's a lot of misunderstanding around the word, and it's, you know, it's feminist, feminine, you know, it's sort of talk, you know, I mean, some people seem to think that it's, you know, women, I don't know, like, want to be I don't know if this is right, but I want to be better. I'm not sure if that's right. But like, there's like, seems to be a misunderstanding, because when someone I know is who believes in equal rights and equal, you know, for, between the sexes, says they're not feminist, I'm like, what do you think it means?
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's so much literature out there. There's so much that you can find out and read about it. And, you know, I think, you know, we're not there yet. I mean, prize money is not equal, and there are loads of arguments to say why that's not, which are some of the issues we're going to be exploring. And, you know, just like, you know, I mean, the pay gap in general is pretty bad.
The data gap as well.
The data gap.
So many researchers just focused on men.
Yeah, like it's like a huge percentage. The vast majority of research has been done on men, because women's, I mean, don't quote me on this, but, you know, I mean, my understanding is that women's bodies were considered too complicated, and so men were a better baseline to sort of draw draw conclusions from. And that's meant actually lots of pharmaceutical drugs, which have then been gone out into the public because they've been passed in trials, have then had to be withdrawn or adjusted because women respond so badly. And, you know, it's like, you can't, women, I mean, we love Dr. Stacey Sims, and we always quote her because she says women are not small men. Yeah. And it's going back to the idea of, like, you know, we aren't. We've got very different physiologies and very different ways of, you know, we have a monthly cycle. Men have a daily cycle. And, you know, we all have our different ways of working, and no two women are the same and no two men are the same. And also, I was going to say the inequality in screen time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, being like athletes on TV, that's just lower. And that's not just, that's not jiu-jitsu, or like, that's just like a whole, that's just everywhere.
Yeah, and the importance of making space for women.
Yeah.
Even if there are a few women, make space so that more women can come in.
Yeah.
That's so important. Because the argument is, oh, there's not so many women.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard the argument that, oh, women just don't like training, or they don't like combat sports. I haven't met a woman yet who hasn't been really excited by the fact that I do jiu-jitsu, who's like, oh my god, can I try it?
Yeah.
And I'm like, please, yes, come and try it. And then, you know, for one reason or another, they can't. Like, it's an intimidating place to walk into a gym. I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. Yeah. I mean, for anyone, I'm not, that's, again, that's for any person, but particularly if you're a minority, that's like a really tough space to walk into.
Imagine walking in a boxing gym.
Oh my god,
macho,
exactly.
Da, da, da.
Yeah, and it's hard. I mean, I'd definitely struggle to walk into a space like that. I find lots of women are really, really interested. It's just for some reason or other, they haven't been able to get involved. And I mean, there's the stereotype that a lot of, again, stereotype, you know, lots of guys go through school having trying sports.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think lots of women don't have a childhood that's full of sports.
Yep, that's me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. <That's> me. And like, that's, and so it's, it sort of sets the groundwork a little bit.
And think they're not good. Think they're not sporty.
Yeah.
But have you tried it?
Yeah.
And yeah, I remember I used to peek all the throwing, the, what was the shot put?
Yeah.
I used to do the what's the other one?
The long javelin?
Yeah, the javelin. Just because I didn't have to. Really,
you didn't have to do anything?
Yeah, just throwing it. I'm done. I lost. Bye. I didn't have to. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's
track,
so funny.
Never.
Really?
Me.
I used to try and be a sprinter, and I'm the least sprint person.
Never. I thought I was so bad. I remember my mum was doing exercise, and I was like, what? Why are you doing this? So bad.
So, you know, I, like, my dad, I was his son, or he tried to make me do the stereotypical stuff that a son would do, like, he took me to, and I'm so grateful, because I loved it. I mean, he took me to football, and he made me do, like,
oh, that's nice.
I tried to join a girls' football group when I was, like, 10, and they were all, like, 2 or 3 years older than me, and it was the most intimidating experience, because they're elbows, man, they are rough on the field, and I was like, daddy, I like this. And it was like, but it was good, because, you know, I really, and, you know, he's always been the one kicking me up the arse if I'm not doing some exercise, because, I mean,
well, that's good,
it's endorphins. Well, it's like, it's, you feel good. I mean, come on, like, you go for a, okay, you don't go for a run, but I go for a run these days because of COVID and lack of little training, and I just come back and I'm just like, okay, everything's a bit better. Yeah. It's not amazing, but everything's a bit better.
I was thinking the other day, imagine my life without trying out the sports I do now. Like, imagine if I never met my boyfriend and I never figured that I like combat sports.
I can't imagine that with
miserable.
You. Because when you
what
get,
what would I be doing?
Because when you get on the mat, you're like fucking beast. You're like, you've got so much like, and like your fighting spirit comes out in a very physical way. So it's like when you get on the mat, it's like, you know, you're very focused and you've got, you channel all of that energy and it's like,
what would I be doing?
What would you be doing? God. Like beating up a stranger outside.
God. Right, perfect. So I think we've
rambled enough.
Yes. I think they're now ready to listen to the main podcast.
Okay.